Please rise as we sing together hymn number 98 in our red hymnal, To God Be the Glory.
Print this morning in you the bold. If y'all join with me, let us praise God, the Creator,
who is filled with glory and power, with holiness and splendor.
Let us worship God, the Savior,
who is filled with love and compassion, with justice and peace.
Let us experience God, the Spirit,
who fills us with faith and joy, with love and eternal life.
Hymn number 64, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty.
Thank you. You may be seated.
With your bulletin still in hand, we'll have the confession and the assurance. So if you'll join with me in the confession all together. God, forgive us when we choose rules over grace. Forgive us when we follow our pride instead of the fresh moving of your Spirit. Forgive us when we choose religion over relationship. Forgive us when we don't trust your life, long growth journey with us. Forgive our unwillingness to actually commit to you. And now from John 3:16 through 17, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, we'll have the assurance. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that through him the world might be saved. Though we were dead through our sins, great mercy, God has spoken a word of healing
and made us alive together with Christ.
Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace.
We have prayer needs that have been shared this morning. First of all, from Debbie Zulfer. Her granddaughter Lily is having her appendix removed this morning, and she's only 12 years old. Now, the rest of the story is when her son called her, he said her pancreas was being removed. So it was a subsequent call that said, no, it's the appendix. So we're very glad that it's the appendix. And so for little Lily, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Cindy Voigt wants us to pray for Twyla Lewis, the loss of her parents last week in the head-on collision. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Susan Salidis says a good friend has stage 4 cancer and is waiting for a treatment plan. So for Susan's friend, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Karen's the church secretary, so she kind of knows stuff, and she's asking y'all to pray for me. I think it's because she's seen a few tears. Yes, be praying for me as I journey toward retirement. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Kendra Apodaca says, thank you to everyone who signed up to bring food for Vacation Bible School. Our church filled the first 3 days all by itself. To anyone who would still like to bring food, the sign-up sheet is on the back table. And our church has also given a $200 contribution to the Baptist Church for purchasing other food needs that are necessary. So we're going to just thank God for all of you. Praise the Lord. Not only for what you do, but that we are able. That has just really been a miracle, hasn't it been? Also, we need to pray for Jim Jackson, who's going to have a PET scan this week following his colon cancer surgery. We want to pray for Judy Hatfield, who's going to have a double mastectomy this week in Las Cruces. She's going to keep a low profile for a while so that she doesn't get any infections. So, Judy, you may be hiding out, but this church is praying for you. And Jim, this church is praying for you. And we're a praying people, and we're just holding everybody close in our hearts. Where are you? Anne, is it okay if I share about your granddaughter? Is it okay? Anne's granddaughter is pregnant with her first child, but had first ultrasound this week, and they saw something that is requiring her to be sent to Albuquerque to a specialist, a pregnancy specialist, high-risk pregnancy specialist. So remind me of your granddaughter's name again. Alex, yes. So would all of you please also be in prayer for Alex and for the little baby and for a worrying grandmother? I'm sorry, what? Okay, Alex. All right, so we'll be praying for Alex. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And now let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for this good church, for people who pray for one another, who carefully hold those who are going through tough times in their hearts. We pray, God, now for those whose needs are spoken and for those who are unspoken, because we also know of people who are going through tough times that just really need your presence and your mercy and your miracles in their lives. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the good people here who make things possible, like helping Vacation Bible School happen for our community. Thank you that we are able financially to help, because there's been times when it's been hard to do. Thank you for the generosity and goodness of the folks in this church. And God, I ask your blessings on Mayfair that's going on here in our community, and ask your blessings on those who are working our church food booth, and may they be blessed today as they encounter people who come to Mayfair. Thank you, God, for our children and grandchildren. So many folks have had their grandchildren graduate this week, and what a joy it is to celebrate that rite of passage in these young people's lives. And now, God, I ask your presence with us as we put our hearts together to worship you. We want you to know that you are loved. We want you to know that you're appreciated. We want you to know we are so grateful for the many acts of generosity that we can see in our lives that we know come from you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And now we're going to rest the concerns and the joys of our heart on these words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time to usher. Thank you.
seated, and we'd like to ask all the young folks to come down to the front row for a story time with Miss Barbara.
Let me ask something real quick. While we're waiting on them to come down, would anybody that served in the armed forces today, would you stand up for just a moment after all that music? If you served in the armed forces, thank you. Was doing. He
Excuse me while I retune a violin, one took a spill.
This song is a tribute to Pastor Judy.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine.
Well, now I can't see to read the scripture. There's just so much love here. Thank you. In the seminary, sometimes you study about God and sometimes you study about Jesus, and sometimes you study about the Holy Spirit, and sometimes you study about the sacraments, and sometimes you study about what church is, and then they will ask you, well, why don't you start writing down what your theology is now that you know what God is, and you know what Jesus is, and you know the Holy Spirit, and you know the church. And so you start writing. Well, I believe that God, and you start writing, and that all sounds pretty good. And then you go, oh, well, if I believe that about God, then this thing I thought I believed about Jesus has to be a little bit different. And if I believe that about Jesus, well, then that makes this Holy Spirit be different. And you keep going if, and you finally get to the point of realizing that the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And I think that that's one of the things that happens too as we age. Oh my goodness, We know so much now, don't we? The older we get, I know more and I know more. And then I realize I don't know. I just don't know anymore. In fact, I think I'm at that point in life where I go, I give up. I just don't know. And what that does is it brings me back to love and grace. And you just, when you get to that place of, I don't know, and you throw your hands up like that, what happens? You let go of control, don't you? Well, Nicodemus was one of those that was trying really hard to be in control. In fact, he was a member of a group of leaders of the Jews who it was their job to make sure that things were controlled. You know, the worship in the temple had to be in exactly right way. And how people lived their lives had to be in exactly the right way. You could only travel 7 miles on the Sabbath, not 7.5, not 11. Everything was precise and controlled and exact and ritual. Then there's this man named Jesus that came around. And he did to Nicodemus kind of like what he does to us. He troubled the waters. He disturbs us. He makes us think. And we go, oh, if that, then this. If that, then that means I have to do this. And I don't really want to. So Jesus was troubling Nicodemus. He had been knowing his whole life. And he was beginning to get it that he didn't get it. Listen to John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. Underline that word, leader. He came to Jesus by night, though. And this should tell you something. You know, something was at great risk for Nicodemus to encounter Jesus personally. Just like it is for all of us, a great risk to encounter Jesus personally. So he snuck in under cover of night and he says, Rabbi, we know. Now he says, we know. He's got Jesus on that same level as he is. He's a teacher and so is Jesus. And he's saying, well, you know, we good old boys, we know. He's trying to meet Jesus right there. We both know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Nicodemus came to Jesus late at night. Nicodemus was slinking in under cover of darkness because he was struggling with some big issues. And he had his reputation to uphold and his job to keep. He could not be known. as someone who was asking, excuse me, who was asking, Kendra, I need my water, these kinds of questions. He didn't want anyone else to know he was actually talking. I'm sorry, y'all. The girls choked me up. He didn't want anyone else to know that he was actually talking to this man in the temple, because the temple leaders viewed as a threat this Jesus to their help. He didn't want anyone else to know he was actually talking to this man, because the temple leaders viewed Jesus as a threat to their tightly controlled system. Nicodemus said, "Teacher, we know you're a teacher from God. We've seen you do some pretty impressive things, like turning cold water into Mogan David wine at that wedding reception. You really ought to be careful, though, about doing such things, because the local wine merchants union is pretty upset and have lodged a complaint against you. Now, they're a pretty influential group, Jesus. Now, I think I understand most of what you're saying to the public, but what I want to know, and you know how he keeps saying what I want to know, what I want to know is, how do I get into the kingdom of God? What exactly do I have to do to get whatever it is that you've got?" And you know, that's real. That's all of our questions too. How do I get there, Jesus? I want to make sure that I've got all my bases covered. I want to make sure I do right, because I don't want to go to that other place, you know, that they all talk about in some of those other churches. Nicodemus had obviously been listening to Jesus, but the more he thought he understood, the less he knew. Now, you wouldn't be able to tell that just from looking at him outwardly. He's the picture of confidence and self-assurance. The first words out of his mouth is, "Rabbi, we know." Do you see what he's doing? He's setting the ground rules for the conversation he's having about Jesus, with Jesus. He says, "Let's have a teacher-to-teacher discussion here. It's about control, isn't it, Jesus? It's about what's knowing what's right and wrong. It's about leaving nothing to chance. We know." And what exactly does Nicodemus know? He thinks he knows the source of Jesus' power. He thinks he knows the goal of Jesus' ministry. He thinks he has God all figured out and nicely packaged in a nice, neat little box, Barbara. How God can and cannot act in the world, because God's wrapped up in this box that Nicodemus had defined. He knows where God is. He's over there in the temple with all those other priests lined up making all those sacrifices. He knows about people. He knows that they're born and they grow old and they die. He thinks he knows all this. But something he heard Jesus say or saw Jesus do confused Nicodemus and caused him to wonder if he really did understand everything that he thought he knows about God. When I was first getting ready to go to seminary, I read a book. And never once in the book did it use the word God. But the whole book was about God. I knew that because I read that little summary on the flap. All it said was ultimate reality. God was ultimate reality. Whoa, that messed with my mind. For pages, I was having a real trouble struggling with, well, ultimate reality? Ultimate, beyond, anything that I had ever imagined or thought. And I had this most amazing experience as if, Barbara, I had been in a box with God. And all of a sudden, the walls of the box fell outward. And the whole concept of God just went shoong, screaming out into space. Felt like stars and planets were flying by as God and I flew into a new relationship of letting God be God instead of my definitions of God, instead of my definitions of what God could do. All of a sudden, God was free. And I was just blown away by all that God could possibly do now. That was more than I ever imagined before. Oh, Nicodemus came looking for a box. He came looking for a formula, a tried and tested set of rules to add to his religion's already long list of rules. The writer of the Gospel of John portrays Nicodemus as a sincere man, a devout man who obeys the law and exercises responsible leadership in his community. But at the level of faith, there is something tentative about Nicodemus. He couldn't let go and just live in faith. He wanted it defined and written out and boxed up and nicely placed on the table so he could pat it and know. His vision is blurred. He can't see the freedom of the Spirit of God. So he comes to Jesus for help in understanding this mysterious kingdom of God that Jesus has been preaching about. For you see, Nicodemus's experience of Jesus is, man, there's just something about him that's just so free. So not rigid. He picks wheat on the Sabbath. He heals people on the Sabbath. He told somebody on the Sabbath to pick up your mat and walk. You're not supposed to do that. There was something free about Jesus. And he comes in from the dark, seeking more light. What do I have to do? How is this possible? And I think that's the place we all need to be for it to begin. When we let go of all that knowing and get to that place of just, there's something more. What do I have to do? What do I have to let go of? What is it, Jesus? He says, you got to be born from above. The wind. He's given an example of what it's like to be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit. Whoa, now that's radical for those of us who like to control and define and box. We have to let go and let the Spirit do what it wants in our lives. To listen on a different channel, if you please. You want to get to the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus? It's easy. All you have to do is be born from above. Jesus was telling Nicodemus he needed to be directed by the unseen, not himself or his performance-based religious laws. He needed to look above. He needed to connect to literally his higher power, God. He needed the Spirit to direct and shape and form. In short, he needed to trust God as the source of his salvation, not his own perfect performance of his religion. Nicodemus was a Jew, but he's no different than us. It doesn't matter. You, those of us here in the United Methodist Church that has a wonderful theology of grace, with none of that legalistic stuff, we get just as legalistic as everybody else. We human beings do that. We need to be reminded. It's not up to us. Jesus did it. 2,000 years before you were born. Now, in fairness to Nicodemus, the Hebrew word for again and the Hebrew word from above sound very much alike. And they were probably speaking in low tones, maybe even whispering. So when Jesus said, born from above, Nicodemus heard, born again. How is this possible, he says, and he asks it rightfully so. How can an old man like me be born again, Jesus? It's the same roundabout way of saying it can't be done. And there's just no hope for an old sinner like me. Any of y'all feel like that? Old sinner like me. Too much water has passed under the bridge. There's no hope for somebody like me. No, Jesus says. I didn't say born again. I said born from above. If you want to get to heaven, you have to be born from above, from the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus that life in the kingdom is a gift given by God. From above, unearned, unachieved. No set of rules, no formulas, no hoops to jump through. Nothing is going to get you there by what you do. Amen. Do that again. Amen. Yeah. And that God, that sends us right back to chapter 1 and verse 17. The law was given by Moses. Grace was given by Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Flesh is flesh, but spirit is spirit. What God wants to do with us is renovation, a top to bottom, inside out, redirected overhaul. Connect to that which is above. Connect to that which is above. That's how we're born from above. Plug in. You must be born from above. And by the way, the word you here is a Hebrew word that's plural. It says, y'all must be born from above. Yeah, Southern Palestine. But you all must be born from above. We misunderstand the meaning just as Nicodemus did, maybe even more so, because we're a nation of high achievers. We're taught to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We are do-it-yourselfers. We don't ask for help, do we? What do we have to do all by ourselves alone? Is there a technique that produces the best results? Is there a book, Christianity for Dummies, that I can read? Is there a website I can visit that illustrates directions? Is there a fresh wind of the Spirit blowing anywhere today? Summer's upon us. The long, hot, blazing days will work at frying us. We plod through the unmerciful heat, especially y'all who live down in Alamo. But when the sun starts going down on the other side of the hill, something magical begins to happen. And the sun slides to bed, and the winds, the evening breezes start gently rustling the needles on the pines. Conversations die down. We don't know where that breeze comes from. We don't know where it's going, but we know it's present. It's like coming in here on a Sunday morning when you really don't want to be here. Yeah, I've been there too. When your mind is somewhere else, and to be honest about it, maybe your heart is somewhere else too. Then during the worship service, maybe during a hymn that's sung, or a prayer that's said, or a communion service, or even in a sermon, something gets hold of you. Some mysterious force somehow lifts a burden from your shoulders or helps you understand something that's been puzzling you. And your step's a little lighter when you leave than it was when you walked in. What was that? What brought that about? The gentle breeze of the Spirit's refreshment blew through your soul. No, Jesus said, I didn't say you have to be born again, just born from above. If you want to get to heaven, you have to be born from above, from the Spirit, Jesus said to Nicodemus. No set of rules, no formula is going to get you there. The way of Jesus points above for our direction, not toward the tightly listed laws of humans. It's mysterious. It's amazing. It's grace. It's grace that saves us. God's grace. Amen. In the name of Jesus, let it all soak in and then fly with the Spirit. Amen. We've got a wonderful song to sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. It's in the Little Black Faith We Sing book, number 2108.
Yeah.